Is such a wonderful privilege once again to come together like this and share God's word with you. It's my honor and my great privilege to be able to do that today again, and I just welcome our beautiful Bikers Church family, our friends, and anybody else that is tuning in to this Facebook page today and onto the YouTube media. We really want to welcome each and every one of you, and I believe today that as I share this word, it'll be a word of encouragement, but it'll also be a word of correction and a word of challenge. And I really believe that that's what the word of God does. It encourages us and it does various things in our lives, the word of God. I want to start off this morning, and this is something additional that I received from the Lord as I was preparing to share this word to you today. The word of God says to us in Romans 15 verse 4, Romans 15 verse 4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope." What a wonderful encouragement. The Bible says that everything was written. And I just want to read this to you, just to lay hold of that scripture and bring it into perspective. Because when Paul writes to Timothy in Timothy 3, verse 16, he says, all scripture. In other words, everything that was written for us so that we can read the scriptures and that we can endure and that we can stand strong and that we can live a victorious life. And then he says, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. I'm going to read scriptures to you. I'm going to talk about God's promises to you today. All those things have been God-breathed. God gave us his word so that it can be a guideline for our daily living. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, listen, for rebuking us, for correcting us, and for training us in righteousness. In other words, in right living, in right standing with God. That is what the scripture does. It is so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. So the way we live, God has given us his word. So I just want to lay that as the foundation as I share the word with you today. There is nothing too hard for God. Do you really believe that today? When I say that, there is nothing too hard for God. This is not merely a statement, let me rephrase this. This is really a statement more than a sermon. That's what I want to say to you today. It is more a statement. There is nothing too hard for God, because he's given us his word, and we've just read that. And his word is there to guide us and to lead us and to correct us and rebuke us and bring us into a right relationship with him. You know, the psalmist says this in Psalm 48:14, beautiful psalm here. And when I say there's nothing too hard for God, just listen to this. The psalmist says this, "For this is our God." What he's doing is he's taking the spotlight and he's putting it onto the eternal, magnificent, awesome, amazing God that we serve. When you've come to know him through the rebirth, being born again, when you're a child of God, you begin to know that this is our God. And listen to what he says. This is our God forever and forever. If we were in the church now, I would make you say forever and ever, because it is forever. It never ends. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. This God with whom there is nothing too hard for him. He says, how powerfully, he will be our guide even to the end. Man, God is with you even to the end. He's never going to leave us and never forsake us. There is nothing too hard for God. The truth is that in these days, many, many Christians, unfortunately, have become despondent, have become discouraged, have come into doubt, are living in fear. My question to you is, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the devil's report because he's a liar? Or are you going to believe the word of God because that is truth, and it's truth to set us free? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind, a mind of self-control. That is when we begin to believe the word of God. Can I just say that the devil is the author of discouragement and despondency and doubt and fear? He's the author of that stuff, man. You know, we may encounter difficulties. We may encounter hardships. We may encounter defeats. But Christian, I want to encourage you today. Do not become defeated. Do not live disconnected from courage, because the enemy is defeated and there is nothing too hard for God. When we look into the world around us today, and unfortunately we've got to come on this media, we can't gather in the church, and there's so much happening, and there's so much prophetic word about the coming of the Lord, and all sorts of stuff, as I said last week, that is coming our way with all these trials and tribulations and hardships and heartaches. Sometimes many Christians are asking these questions. Maybe you that's listening to me has asked this question: where is God right now? I can't sense to seem to know where God is. Why doesn't he do something? Is he really able to do something? You know, I want the scriptures to answer that question, if that has been your question in your heart at this time. And Jeremiah 32 verse 17 answers this question so beautifully. And listen to the way he answers this question. Where is God? Can God do anything? Listen, Jeremiah 32 verse 17. He says, Sovereign Lord. It's almost like I'm in a difficult place, but Sovereign God, awesome God, magnificent God. And then he puts God in his right perspective here. He says, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. When God said it, it became. He created us. He created the world. He created all the creatures and the moon and the sun and the stars and the universe. God created that stuff. We can listen to God. When last did a human create an earth or a heaven? Man, we cannot rely on humans. No matter how intellectual or how smart they might think they are. Let me tell you something. Sovereign Lord. And then listen what he says. Nothing is too hard for you. And I love it, because the answer to the question that Jeremiah says, nothing is too hard for you. Where Jeremiah says, nothing is too hard for you. The Bible has over 3,000 promises in the Word of God. 3,000 promises. And I said that last week. And in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, God's promises are yes, and in him they are amen. They are amen. They are absolutely sure. Because in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, he talks about God has given us his divine nature. And then in verse 4, he says, through this divine nature he has given us his very great and precious promises. God has given us this God with whom we have, and the God we deal with, there's nothing too hard for God. He says he has given us his great and precious promises, so that through these great and precious promises, we may participate, a deal no mahe, in the divine nature, and say, Godlike natuur. We can. And he says, so that we can escape the corruption. In other words, we will be given strength to avoid the influences of this world, the corruption of this world. We might be in the world, but we're not of the world. God will strengthen you against these things. God gives you peace. When everything's falling apart, you can have peace because you're a son and a daughter of God. He says that we may escape the corruption in the world caused by the evil desires. You know, when I stop and I think of this, Sovereign Lord, nothing is too hard for you. I mean, when we consider, firstly, the majesty of God's limitless power. Think about that. God's limitless power. There's so much in the Word of God. When we read about God's limitless power, how he's interacted with us and how he promises to interact with us, as every one of you listening, God wants to interact with your life because he loves you and he cares for you, every detail of your life. Listen, God speaks to Abraham and he tells Abraham that he's going to have a son at his old age. And I can just imagine Abraham's demeanor, Abraham's look, the look on his face. I mean, Sarah began to laugh. She thought this is a joke because old Abraham, he's been a bit dead long time ago. And Abraham knows this is impossible. This is not good. I mean, he was a bit surprised what God says. And then God asks Abraham this question. Listen, yeah, in Genesis 18, verse 14, he says, God asks Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I want to ask you today, is there anything too hard for the Lord to give you a breakthrough, to help you, to get you through the things you are going through today? When he asks that question, is there anything too hard for God? I mean, later on Jeremiah, our scripture reading for today, in Jeremiah 32, 17, Jeremiah answered, there is nothing too hard for God. Is there anything too hard for God? Well, I'm here to tell you, there is nothing too hard for God. So please just listen to this. There is no promise too hard for God to keep. No promise too hard for God to keep. God will always keep his word. I mean, if God said and he made the promise, God will keep it. You know, we read there in the book of Numbers 23:19. Listen to this. God is not a man that he should lie. I want you just to stop a moment. God is not a man that he should lie. You see, Satan is the father of lies. And in our natural nature, people are lying all of the time. I just want to remind you, Revelation 22 verse 8 says, all liars will have their place in the eternal lake of fire, in hell, in other words. God hates lies. And in God is no lie. And he says, I'm not like a man, because it's in our nature to lie. But God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. That he should lie. Listen, and if he said it, he shall do it. Please take comfort in that. So there is no promise too hard for God to keep. Secondly, I want to say, there is no prayer too hard for God to answer. You know, Jeremiah 33 verse 3, one of my favorite scriptures. Call unto me and I will answer you. I will show you mighty things, things you haven't even thought about. God will show you those things. There is no prayer for God too difficult for God to answer. Jesus himself encouraged us, and he didn't just say this for idle words, to just say something to try and pacify people. He said this because it's the truth. He says in Matthew 21, 22, and whatever you ask in prayer, believing, there's the key, you will receive it. When you ask in prayer and believe, the Bible says you will receive. So can I say it again and just remind you, there's no promise too hard for God to keep. There's no prayer too hard for God to answer. And he has another good one. And you see, I know this by personal experience in my life. There is no problem too hard for God to solve. Have you got a problem today? Do you need a breakthrough in your life? I'm sure many of you listening to me right now say, God, I need a breakthrough. Listen to me. I want to encourage you. There's nothing too hard for God. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. God specializes in things that seem impossible. You know, in my 45, nearly going on 46 years now of serving the Lord, there were times in my life where I thought God had deserted me. I was really on my back. I was in difficult situations financially and many times even emotionally and in trouble with stuff in my life, in the business world. And I thought, God, I'm over. This is over. And his miraculous power, let me encourage you, there's no problem for God to solve. Now listen, God may not solve your problems the way that you expect him to and probably want him to, but he'll give you the best answer. But this still remains, there is no problem too hard for God to solve. You've got a problem, God can solve it. Keep trusting God. And then there's no person. He has another beautiful one. There is no person too hard for God to save. Well, you're looking at a living testimony. And I know as you that are listening to me today, many of you were really far from God. While we were still sinners, Jesus died. And I mean, I was a real atheist heathen. I mocked Christians. I thought they were the sick, lame, and lazy. And they cut their hair short, backsides, and wore round-toed black shoes, and they looked dull. And maybe many Christians act like that, sadly. And it just put me off Christianity. But until the day I met Jesus, my life was never again the same. So hard to explain to somebody. Once you've crossed that line and you've given your life to Jesus, man, you cannot explain the joy, the peace in those storms, in those difficult times in life. And it's such a wonderful joy to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because he's with us. There is no person too hard for God to save. Let me just say that. God can save anyone, but he'll save those that will come to him. You know, 1 Timothy 2:4, God speaking, he says, God who wants, and he says, who wants all, but he's talking about God here. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Just by what I've said today, there is no promise too hard for God to keep. There is no prayer too hard for God to answer. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. There is no person too hard for God to save. But then when I've said that, I've got to say this too today, because this is important. There's a mystery of man's limiting power. We know there's nothing too hard for God. But did you know that we can limit Almighty God, you and I? We can limit Almighty God. Yet, let me tell you how you can limit God. And I want you to listen to this, because this is really important for all of us. If we want God to come through for us, and he wants to come through for us, I have a few points here to show you how we can limit God. You know, nothing is impossible by God, but only you and I can limit God. Number one, firstly, an unwilling spirit. Boy, there are so many Christians that know Jesus, but they walk around with an unwilling spirit. You see, you and I have this dubious privilege, the twyfelachtige voorrecht, to say no to the Lord. And just by being disobedient, knowing what's right to do and not doing it, you're already saying no to God. You are busy with an unwilling spirit. And once you're with an unwilling, resisting spirit and not being obedient to the word of God, you are already limiting God to work in your life. If you're not willing, there are not enough angels in heaven that can drag you to Jesus. Listen to me. It's the same as coming to Jesus. We preach, we talk to many people about coming to Jesus, because Jesus didn't come and condemn us. Jesus came to save us. And there are so many people that have an unwilling spirit to surrender their hearts to the Lord Jesus. So what limits us? An unwilling spirit. And then another one thing that limits us from God's awesomeness in our life is an unconcerned attitude. The church is full of that. If you go read the last church in Revelation 3, the church of Laodicea, the end time church, the condition of the end time church, we live for Jesus, but we put him in a compartment. We carry on with a sinful life. We carry on with ungodly ways. We watch stuff that is filthy. We live together in sin. We continue with an ungodly attitude. We have anger and bitterness and negativity and we live a life that is unpleasing to God. An unconcerned attitude. You know what's right, but you just have an unconcerned attitude. And this is what Jesus is saying to us in this. This is what's limiting us. And please hear where Jesus is. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, then I will come in." Let me just say, God has unlimited power, and we know he has limitless power. But do you think there's any door that can keep out the Lord of glory, that he cannot kick down and open it? He would obviously do that. And yet, when I read that scripture, he stands at the door knocking until someone will let him in. Church, hear that. The doorknob is on the inside. There are so many people that have managed to get God out of the equation because of the sin and an attitude that is unconcerned, couldn't care less, can't worry any. These are the things that separate us. What about an unreasonable mindset? Being just deliberately unreasonable. I really just call that making excuses more than a fancy word for unreasonable mindset. Just a plain making excuses. And just follow me with this. Just think about this for a moment. People will say, "I don't go to church. People have offended me for whatever reason. I don't go to church because I was forced to go by my mother, or my wife forced me, or my husband forced me." It's mainly wives are forcing husbands, because the husbands are mostly slop oaks, and you shouldn't be, because you need to take authority in your home. You need to lead by example, husband, father. But many people will say, "I don't go to church because I was forced by my parents to go to church." Now here's the analogy. Think about this. Imagine his parents made him bath also many times in his life, forced him to go and bath. Now, because his parents forced him to go and bath, now he doesn't bath anymore. He stinks. Hy ruik lekker. I mean, it's ridiculous. That's an unreasonable mindset. Here's another one. Some say that the church is full of hypocrites. You know, and I've said it before in our church as well. Many people say to me, "Your church is full of hypocrites." And then I would say, "Yes, You're right. But don't come. We don't want another hypocrite. Because you know what? The difference between you and the oaks in our church and is the fact that we are maybe hypocritical, but we're trying to become less hypocritical and become more like Jesus. That's why we're there. Why don't you become less hypocritical and then join us? But, I mean, think about this. There are lawyers that are charlatans, and I don't mean bad to the lawyers here, but there are some lawyers that are sharks, and there's some doctors that are very, very suspect that you wouldn't go and see. Listen, and there's some money in that, that's in the currency in the world of in the pockets of people that are counterfeit right now. But I can assure you this, when you need a lawyer and when you need a doctor, you make sure that you will find one. And I know that you don't just empty your purse and throw it away and just burn up all your cash just because there's counterfeit money in the world in circulation. We don't do that. You see, that is crazy to even say that about life. So many people say to me as well, and here's another unreasonable mindset, just making excuses. I'd like to be a Christian, but there's just too much for me to give up. You know, many people, I see this when I'm ministering. People think when you become a Christian, you become this miserable, unhappy, lemon-sucking dude or dudess. And so you're unhappy all your life, and then you die, and then you go to be very happy because there's happiness in Jesus. Let me just correct you a little bit. You see, the Bible says that we can reign in life. Jesus says the thief came to steal, kill, and to destroy. The miserable people are the unsaved people, because I came to give you life and life abundant. You can live a victorious life. You can live an overcoming life. You can live with joy. The world doesn't understand that joy. Jesus puts joy in you when you know Jesus, when you've encountered him as your Savior and you know him as your Lord. Man, it's exciting to serve Jesus. I just think many Christians probably do live like lemon suckers, and they're judgmental and they always wanting to drink the Bible down people's throats. Don't do that stuff. Don't make Christianity a misery. It's a joyful experience. Would the people serve the same Jesus that you serve in the way you speak and act and talk and live? I ask you that today. Yeah. It's like I said, Christians say, I want to serve the Lord, but there's just too much to give up. Here's the analogy. It's like saying, you know what? I really want to be healed, but I don't want to give up my cancer. That's exactly what they're busy saying, the analogy. The same thing. The only thing that God wants you to give up in your life is the hurts that are being caused in your life. Here's another one that causes God to limit God's work in our lives. Did you know that if you harbor sin in your life and in your heart, you're limiting God from answering your prayers? You're answering God, limiting God for helping and assisting in your life. Here's a scripture. Listen to this. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. So in other words, God is actively wanting to bless us. God is active because there's nothing too hard for God. He is for you today. But listen to verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Church, listen to me. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. But please hear this. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, but here's the key, and forsake them. You cannot keep praying and asking God to forgive you, but you carry on in the folly of your sin. You know you're living in sin today. You know you got too much anger. You know that you're walking in unforgiveness. You know you're living in sin today. You know what you're busy with that does not please God. If you want God's grace and blessing in your life, change your life. Ask God to help you. He wants to help you. Come to him. Ask him. Here's another thing that limits God, an unbelieving heart. Boy, I tell you, all sin is terrible, but I think one of the most terrible and worst sins is the sin of unbelief. Listen, unbelief can be very devastating. If you just go read the history of Israel, it was unbelief in their lives that got them to miss going into the promised land. A whole new generation went in. The old generation died in the desert because of that. You know, Jesus himself, when he walked on the earth, ministering, Matthew 13, verse 58. Listen to this. And he did not do many miracles there where he was because of their lack of faith. There was unbelief. Jesus couldn't touch them because they wouldn't believe. You know how many people are out there that don't want to believe, they don't want to receive. They would rather believe the lie of Satan. Listen, there is nothing too hard for God. Because Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. You've got to believe that He is God and that He rewards. There's nothing impossible for God. That He rewards those that eagerly and diligently seek Him. You see, faith is the channel through which our risen Lord pours His life out into you and I. I want to come to a close today, and I want to remind you, after all you've heard, what is limiting you from God bringing the breakthroughs in your life? Of course, you pray and you're asking, but maybe there's something you need to change in your life. But I want to remind you, and God would ask you today, as I say it, I want you to hear God's voice talking to you. And God is saying, is there anything too hard for me, son, daughter, my precious child? Is there anything too hard for me? And then the answer comes, there is nothing too hard for God. Only you and I can limit it. I want to give you a promise right now from God to you. He has the most amazing promise found in Ephesians 3, verse 20. I love this verse because it just encourages me. In Ephesians 3, verse 20 in the Amplified, it says, now to Him, this is to God, who is able. Nothing isn't too hard for God. God is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly. That's a beautiful word, super abundantly, more than all that we dare to ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers. We can pray great prayers, even beyond those prayers God wants to answer, even further than our hopes that we have, further than Andrew. We can dream big dreams, and God's already beyond those big dreams. Listen, according to His power that is at work within us. Where's His power? At work within us. There is nothing too hard for God. Maybe today you need to have introspection and look at your life. What is limiting God from connecting with you? I always say it. If you feel God's far away, guess who moved? He ain't moved. Listen to what He wants to do. Ephesians 3:20. Go read it in your quiet time. May God bless you today. May this word encourage you. Because the God you serve, there is nothing too hard for God. Come, let us just pray. And we commit ourselves to this awesome God of ours. Father, we thank You for the wonderful promise. More than 30,000 promises, Lord, are yes and amen in You. You want to, Father. May we not be reluctant to come and surrender and walk in obedience. I pray for every single one that's listening to me now, that there will come a fresh fire, that, Lord, as Timothy was told by Paul, stir the fire within you. May there come a new fire, a new fresh insight, a revelation in every heart. I bless these precious people today with every blessing in Christ Jesus. Lord, give people strength to stand firm in this day, to lay down that which is separating them from the blessing of God in their life. We thank You because You're a good, good Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. God bless you, man. So good to be with you. And may the Lord bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week ahead. And keep serving Him. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. Spend time with God. Keep reading His Word. God bless you. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you next week. God bless. Bye.